This is the Night Owls Disc Golf Podcast, a Disc Golf Answer Man Network podcast. I'm Shane.
And I'm JP.
And JP, what'd you buy today? Ooh. Or this week?
This week? Well, the big news was for this week, one of the big things was Chris Dickerson signing with Discraft. And so he came out with some buzzes for his ESP buzzes for his release. So I ended up buying those, and they have a really cool robot chicken stamp.
I'm going to pull it up on my phone because I think it looks really awesome. And when I heard they were doing the robot chicken, I was like, that is awesome, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's better than some, like, so I have the FX2 when he went out, when USDGC, and, you know, it just had like a chicken stamp. It was on some really nice Spectrum plastic with Prodigy when that happened. But this one's, I think, is way better.
Oh, I'm excited to see it. Jump on Reddit. I may not get great information here, but
they sold out like within a couple hours.
Oh my goodness, they did. And that's awesome, because so that's a great stamp. And it's also his tour disc now.
It's going to be his tour series disc.
That's awesome.
And from what I heard too, is he mentioned that he's working on a new logo or signature logo that will be on the disc, and it should be out. Well, the disc won't be out, but we'll get a glimpse at the new logo within like the next week or two.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So is that going to be, how many did you buy?
I bought three.
Three, okay.
Yeah.
Not too many. Just
three. Not too many, three. Just enough.
You only have one arm, you know that, right?
I do.
Okay. Just making sure. So three of them, you can flip it, hang it, or throw it.
Throwers.
All of them?
Well, maybe one or two hangers.
Well, one or two, okay.
Yeah, but I'll definitely be throwing one.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll cycle in and out with my other 20-odd buzzes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, because you did it with, who was the, Robbie Disc Golf, right?
Robbie Disc Golf. Yeah, I did the real remix with him, yeah. What'd you get, Shane? What'd you buy this week?
I personally didn't buy anything.
Okay.
The two things that is worth mentioning is I got back in contact with Daryl J. Dies. I think I'm probably butchering this, he's the gentleman that did my puking unicorn.
Okay.
And I said, I really want owls. And every time I see one of his posts, like, man, an owl would look good. Owl would look good. So finally he just messaged me. He was like, do you want an owl?
yeah,
sure. Absolutely. So then he started asking me about what he wanted and all that stuff. And he goes, you know, I don't have a ton of time, but I'll get to it. I said, okay, can you put it on a ballista? And he goes, yeah. So how does this new chameleon ballista that was in the mystery box or the Royal Box 3s?
Yep.
I said, how does that die? And he goes, awesome. And he showed me a core that's the same plastic. And
okay.
I was like, perfect. So let's go for it. And so he started kind of laying it out. Asked me what type of owl. So I'm super excited to see it. And I just told him, make it fun. Do your thing. Like I said, just a great horned owl and go for it.
Cool.
So he showed me some things. He asked for some measurements. And then on he went designing it. So I'm sure within the next couple weeks, I'll have an idea of what it's going to look like. And then he'll start on it from there. So
nice. I can't say I've seen too much chameleon plastic dyed up before.
Yeah. Well, and you saw the one as you came in, the one that I'm going to give him.
Yeah. And I had that same one from the box, Royal Box 3 too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Yeah. It looks good. And I think with how he does with the negative space and, with the negative space, and the vibrant colors, and he does kind of that cell dyeing.
Yes.
Like, I think it's going to look awesome.
Yeah, it should. That'd be cool.
But he may do something different. I left it up to him because I am not an artist. So you want me to draw a circle, it'll look like a line. So, yeah. And that will be a thrower.
Okay.
For sure. That'll be a thrower. And then I bought 15 of each, the Felon, the Explorer, and the dagger, the Sense dagger.
Yep.
With the Waisaki stamp on it that they released to buybacks today.
Nice.
Which is the 12th. And I'm super excited about getting those into the shop. So those will be available online.
So are the Felons the Orbit Felons? Or are they different?
Nope, they're different. So they're Lucid X, if I remember rightly. It's Lucid X. I know the Lucid X. God, I could pull it up, but I know for sure it's Lucid X Enforcers.
Okay.
And I believe they're Lucid X Felons. And then the Sense Daggers.
Oh, cool. So they're different than the announcement discs.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, I wish I had. I don't want to waste. Oh, wait, no, it's up on my screen still. Nope, it's not. Okay. You ever pull up your phone and you have like remnants of the last page you looked at, and then when you click on it, it's something like it just has. Apple does that to me anyway.
Yes, I've had that
happen. Where I'll be looking at, like, I don't know, Elf on a Shelf, and because that's all I look at on my phone, and then I'll go to like click on it, like, oh, I left that up. Let me click on it. And then it goes to like Drag Racing.
Yeah.
Because that was the last actual one I had up there. Who knows? Anyways, that was a good story. I'll tell it again sometime. So I'm excited about those, and those will definitely be flippers.
Yep.
Because they're going into the shop. So
nice.
DoorDisc.com.
Are they Opto Explorers?
I believe they're – no. Wait. They're either Opto or Opto X. That's what I didn't know, and I didn't have it up on my phone. So they're Opto or Opto X. But they have a signature on it, Sake Bomb stamp, all that stuff.
Awesome.
Two-time world champ. And So that is what I got, and I'm excited. I showed a couple people the skis. I just want to mention them because I'm super excited about them. This is the skis on the cart, and I'm just like so stoked about it. So I'll post some stuff on Instagram probably at one point or another with them actually using them, because I talked to Jordan today and I'm like, I haven't played in about a month and a half. I got to get out and play. So we're going to plan some time this week.
Did you at least get out in the yard and test it out?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I drug it over the landmines of dog poop that I have out there, and they went right over those really easily. So, yeah. By the way, winter in Wisconsin, if you have a dog, it's amazing. Because this is your first winter with a dog?
Second
winter. Okay. Yeah.
When it melts? Yeah.
Isn't that crazy what the backyard looks like when it melts?
Oh, my God. Yeah. We had a lot of poop to pick up even before, like, the snow and everything. And I'm like, it just got cold. And I'm like, I'm not going to pick it up. And then today I went outside. And I'm like, I have to pick all this stuff up in the snow.
I know. And it's melting a little bit.
Yeah.
So these little, like, nuggets of poo are just kind of appearing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I thought I picked them all up. So, yeah.
It's a lot easier when they're frozen.
Yes. Yeah. It is nicer. It is nicer. Way nicer. But the problem is that gives me an excuse when I see them go. I'm like, I'm going to let it get cold before I pick that up. And then like 4 days later it snows and it's going to be left for summer.
All you poor people with cats that have to scoop litter. It's so much easier to just have your dog go outside and let it freeze.
Yeah. Let it freeze and then throw it over your neighbor's fence. easy peasy. Yep. If I had a neighbor, I'd do that, but I'm surrounded by woods. So I just throw it in the woods. And we have one of our dogs. We have three dogs, and one of our dogs, it's a little miniature pincher. And Rocky, what he'll do is he'll go out in the path I shovel on our porch.
Yeah.
He poops on the path.
Oh.
But I get it. I mean, if he crawls in the snow, his ding dong is going to be touching
it. Right.
Like, I'm sure it won't be awesome. But yeah, he poops right on the path, little bugger. Anyway, so sidetrack. Let's get back to disc golf. And I do have my putting basket back there, too. So it gets really dangerous. So I take care of the poop pretty well.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're not done with tangent, I guess. All right, sir, what do you got for us?
All right, big news so far this week. Two big signings. Mm. We'll start off. We just mentioned them before, but Chris Dickerson signs with Discraft. I think in the last episode, the offseason so far, we both kind of predicted that that was the ideal landing spot, or like the most...
What we wanted to see for sure,
yeah. And so, yeah, I was happy to hear the news. I was driving, doing some errands, and it popped up. I'm on Eric Oakley's Discord channel, and someone had the Discraft or Chris Dickerson announced it on Twitter, and it popped up. You know, someone had popped it up on the Discord channel, and it's like, oh wow, that's really awesome. So I guess 4 years, $1 million, from what I understand, is what I heard.
Yeah.
And he
plus bonuses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. He also got, so the rumor was he was driving an RV, the Discraft RV. And so apparently he's getting that to tour in. They had one at Discraft that it was vacated. I think Chanimal
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Was using it along with somebody else. And, he ended up driving it from Michigan back down to Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so he and Brittany Dickerson, his wife, get to travel around in that because he was really concerned about...
Can I pause?
Yeah.
Real quick. When you said Britney, it made me think of the Britney Spears song. It's Britney. And then, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Let's get serious.
Yeah. So he was concerned about traveling out to the West Coast, out to like Vegas, out to Memorial. So he's going to be able to get out there without really having to worry, because I think he was driving an old 2001 like pickup truck with like a tow behind or something.
Okay.
And they mentioned on Smashbox last night that it broke down one time at a rest area. So a little ease of the mind to be able to travel and have it be easy on them.
Must have been a Ford.
Must have. Okay.
Let's go ahead and alienate about half of our listeners. All seven of you guys. Sorry. I apologize. That's awesome. And I'm really glad we talked about the tour series discs. I'm glad he got the buzz. Because he threw an M3.
Yeah.
And he threw that thing awesome. And yeah. I think it suits his game. He's a woods player. Mm-hmm. He likes it. And the buzz, I think he's going to find the buzz to be his bread and butter. I'm sure it will. I mean, anybody who throws a buzz finds it to be their bread and butter.
And so in his release video with Discraft, Paul Macbeth ends up picking him up at the airport and everything. They bring him to the factory. Paul asks him about the buzz, and he's like, you know, it's one of those discs where you can just about put it on any angle and it'll do what you want. You know, it's stable enough, but it can be a little understable depending on the plastic you're throwing.
Yeah.
It's probably the most popular disc in, besides the Destroyer.
Like, or the Aviar.
In disc golf history. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I've found that to be true I'm an EMAC thrower. But I found that to be true as I tried throwing them. I loved them and they held lines, but I liked the finish of the EMAC.
Yeah.
And the buzz just didn't have that.
No,
it's not as much.
Not as much. It's really straight. You can get a little turn out of it, you know, if you throw it hard enough, or you can get it, you know, hyzer flip it up to flat. But yeah, it doesn't have much finish. Not as much as an EMAC.
Yeah. Yeah. So should we talk about let's talk about the other discs. So Discmania also has Adam Hammes.
Discraft.
Discraft also has Adam Hammes, and he dropped the Wasp and now is with the Zone because Brian Earhart left. Yep. So that's awesome. Have you seen is there a stamp on that one yet? He shown a stamp for that one yet?
No, I haven't seen I haven't seen any tour. I don't think any tour series stamps have really been.
And they haven't been released or anything. Okay.
You know, he's got the his signature logo is like the AH.
Yeah, that's a pretty hot stamp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have a couple of his. I had a Wasp of his I lost last year, but it had like a big Wasp on it, and I think I think it had its circle with the AH.
It does.
It.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So
we surprisingly have one left in the shop.
If oh, yeah. Some reason, I saw that one the other day. Yeah.
I don't know why. Every other thing has gone, but...
It's a solid disc. It's a nice, over-stable finish to it. Yeah, really stable. I threw it for quite a while until I lost it.
Well, there's one in the shop, baby. Yeah,
well, saying. Yeah, I throw the Mutant now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a good disc, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so it sounds like Paige Pierce is going to stay with... Or going to go to the Fierce...
Yeah,
as her signature.
I heard, what I had heard is she was going to go to one of her discs. So, yeah, I guess the Fierce would probably make the most sense.
Yep. And then P. McBee is Luna. And then Comet for Johansson.
Yeah, Meteor would be Vanessa Van Dyken. Or is that Flip?
I don't know.
I think that's what her disc was last year. I think I have one or two of them.
Yeah.
And I think Andrew Presnell had the drone.
Yeah. And then Missy Gannon was the
Undertaker. Yeah.
And it sounds like all those are going to basically stay the same.
From what I gather, they're going to be the same. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I like their team series stamps because it's they're different. They're unique. And they still use some of the stock stamps where they just jazz them up a little bit.
Yeah.
I like them. I mean, it's not any different from like the Sakibat Destroyer or anything like that.
No.
But, I just tend to like the Discraft ones better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they always come out with really awesome comments. So
their plastic, the like, I don't know, I forgot what kind of plastic it is. It's like a glimmer plastic. I forgot what the
exact. The Sparkle Z Flex or something like that. Yeah.
I don't know if it's all Z Flex, but it was good plastic mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then we got through that. What else do you want to say with news and updates?
Well, the big one we kind of got burned on.
You did.
Oh, yeah. I definitely got burned on it.
I think we good. Both did.
So Haley King to Innova mm-hmm. was a shock to me for sure.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. She came out with her video Monday night, I think it was 5 p.m. Central time, and mm-hmm. I was pretty shocked.
Yeah, I was too. So this is perception. I don't know if there's any truth behind this or not, but so Haley King is a huge proponent for FPO.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love what she's doing. I don't fault her for it at all. Innova has given the idea or the people that's so Innova is known or may be known for, whether there's truth or not behind it, that they don't support their team members very well, and specifically FPO. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any merit. I don't have any scientific proof behind that. I don't have any stats behind it, but it surprises me that Haley went to it, and we mentioned it on the last episode or one of the episodes, last episodes that we released, that I joked around and said, wouldn't it be funny because Innova's going to try to turn a new leaf and Haley would be that change maker for them.
You predicted that spot on.
And it was a joke, but man, like, I should have put some money on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully that works. And hopefully, like I said, we've talked about business in disc golf quite a bit. And I love that move. And I guess I'm eternal optimist too, but I love that move because maybe some things are starting to change.
Maybe.
I want to bring up that thing that you and I talked about. I heard it on the Foundation podcast. I'm going to quote it here. It was Hunter Thomas that said it. I'm not taking credit for this, but he brought up an amazing analogy of who Innova is right now. Innova is the Converse of the 80s and could very easily stay that way and become the Converse of the 2000s.
Which is not good.
Exactly. So, I mean, Converse is awesome, but very mm-hmm. niche, not what they were designed for. So Chuck Taylors were the basketball shoe of the 80s.
Yep.
And what he brought up, Hunter did, is Hunter said, think about, I won't recap it completely, but basically they dominated the court. They didn't feel like they needed it because they had the market share. That's Innova. Here's the comparison. They have Walmart. They have Dick's. They have all these other Shields, I think they're in.
Yep.
So,
a lot of big box stores. A
lot of big box stores. And they feel that they don't need to support or have sponsors or, you know, in the niche ways that Nike did in the 80s mm-hmm. with Jordan and a few other select players.
Right.
Now, who dominates the market? Nike.
Yep.
Who's going to be the one to dominate the market once Innova falls off and is dethroned? Who knows? It looks like it's either going to be Discraft or Dynamic Discs or L64 brand. The trilogy.
Yeah.
So I loved that. Hunter, you're brilliant, at least in that for sure. I loved that. I thought that was so awesome that you said that. And when I was just like, man, I can't think of a better way to say that.
Yeah, that's really good. And then we were talking too, and like coincidentally, guess what happened? Nike bought out Converse.
Right.
Yeah, so we're not saying anybody's going to buy out Innova right now, but who knows? Losing market share. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because they got two factories, or they got two warehouses, East and West Coast. And like I said, they're in big box stores. So I think their priorities are proper in where they're putting their resources. But like I've said before, I don't know if that episode will be out by this time or not, by the time we release this one, but we had a test episode that we did. It was the very first time JP and I spoke into microphones, and we talked about, no, we didn't. This one's out. I lied. Just kidding. Erase that, JP. You'll take that out.
Edit here.
Yeah, edit. Yeah. But basically, I said that there has to be some sort of catalyst of change. There has to be things to start moving in a direction that the market is asking for. And the market is asking for more care behind their players. They want more attention. They want more love. They want more of what is deserved. I'm going to throw up the air quotes again, of what they feel is deserved. So they got to figure out what is the reasonable, rational deserve, and then supplement all those things, help create that culture. And I think hopefully this is it. Hopefully the Haley's that person.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. She, I think through her social media and what they see of her, that they'll work with her in expanding what it means to be a company with really good female players.
Exactly. And they got awesome players.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Haley, Evelina,
Hannah, Jen Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Own.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got quite a few. They have one of the largest female teams, I think, as far as touring professionals.
And they're, I mean, they're good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, aside from Paige and Kat, they have the best female players. Mm-hmm. Well, and Kristen Tatar, of course.
Yeah.
So
Kona.
Kona. Well, okay. Yeah, okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
But they still have probably, you know, if you were to go to team, Innova still has the strongest FPL team there is. Sure size, but also, but Innova has always sponsored a gazillion people.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully that's a catalyst of change. If the perception of what is happening with Innova is, has any sort of truth behind it, we don't know.
Yep.
But perception is reality in a lot of cases, and the reality is that they don't take care of their players. So when we talk about Innova and Haley, and we talk about business and disc golf and how manufacturers are treating players or making business choices, who do you think is making the right moves right now?
Ooh, that's, well, I mean, I'd say Discraft, with what they did so far with Chris Dickerson, supplying him with the RV, making sure he's comfortable traveling, is a really spot on move, because that was, that move alleviates any doubt he had with being able to tour. Like, obviously big contract money, but giving him the RV, they are also taking care of gas and any maintenance on the vehicle. So that doesn't have to be coming out of anything he has.
Right.
Ricky, Kona's contracts, big contracts, don't know a lot of other details about what they imply besides signature discs. Kona's getting a signature bag from DD that she's designing. Don't know when that's going to be out. But, you know, anytime you sign top players to come to your company, represent your company, push your discs, to have the best players is awesome.
Oh, of course. It's an automatic sell.
Right.
It's having Jordans, you know. Why do you think that Innova and Prodigy, respectively, so Dickerson for Prodigy and Innova, and you talk about Kat in the same realm, we just don't know her deal yet.
Yeah.
Why weren't they willing to pony up?
That's a good question. I think pushing money onto the other, well, obviously Kevin Jones re-signed with Prodigy. They re-signed Gannon Burr. I mean, we don't know the deals of those contracts at all. Those weren't given out.
And the assumption is if they're not shared, they're nothing special.
Right.
They're kind of run of the mill.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, they could be. But for whatever reason it is, obviously Chris didn't feel comfortable at Prodigy. Kat wasn't feeling comfortable at Prodigy. I have a feeling that they just weren't getting the support that they used to be getting, whether that's money, whether that's being, you know, like whatever they're given to travel, if that wasn't covered, who knows? But, you know, there's got to be a level of comfortability at any company for you to stay. And once that falls off, you feel alienated. Mm-hmm. You know, you question your place and whether you're, you know, whether you really want to be there anymore. And so the best choice for them was to leave.
Yeah. 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 I would say that's definitely happening within disc golf. People are starting to see value as a huge determining factor aside from money. Cause money, I've said this before, I'm not going to beat it down, but there's only a certain amount of money that's going to make you happy. Mm-hmm. After a certain level, like any dollar over that is not going to make you more happy. Mm-hmm. What it is environment, culture, and the value that the company places on you. And when you look at those factors, I think that's where some of these disc golf companies are just losing ground. But I think money is number one right now because money is new in disc golf.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think what's happening is certain companies, and this is vague generalizations. I'm not targeting any company at this point. But what I think is happening is that companies are not moving the needle as quickly as the money's coming in.
Sure.
And players are seeing that. It's any employee is going to see that in any business. The more successful you get, the more expectation there is by the employee. So you want to make sure that you're matching that needle in some way, shape, or form, or giving them value in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. To compensate. And I think that's where disc golf is falling behind. I don't know how brilliant the business minds are that are behind these companies. But some are doing it right and some are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, based on my opinion.
Sure.
So I would say that some of the ways that things are changing is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. And I think that's where Kat and Chris and maybe even Haley, you know, maybe that's when, and you know, Nico is the outlier in a lot of this stuff because I don't think he's had any longevity with any team at any point. So I don't know if we can really use him as a basis of determination. But yeah, I see that a lot with disc golf companies because everybody started out so humbly. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's like, oh my goodness, we are making bank. And bank relative.
Yes.
Relative right. to what disc golf is. We are making bank like... Well, what do we do with this? And how do we, so it's all new to all these companies. I mean, they're building big warehouses. They're adding hot stamp machines. They're adding presses. They're expanding teams. They're buying RVs. They're like, this is all new money to them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. How do you feel about that perspective?
Right. Like from this, you have, yeah. Like you're mentioning, they're buying all this new equipment, your warehouse, everything. Like at some point, it's like you have all money has bought you all this stuff, and anything extra, you're like, well, okay, cool for profits, whatever. Mm-hmm. What else can we do? Like, mm-hmm. okay, so like, but like you were saying, like you kind of, if you have that extra, you can give it to your players, mm-hmm. or you can keep it for yourself.
Right, right,
right, and you know, expand in other areas of your business, mm-hmm. which any company would normally do. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because with disc golf, even though like you're sponsored by a company, are you really an employee? Like, is that?
No. You're a contractor.
Right.
You're essentially.
Yeah. So it's a weird thing. Like the relationship isn't necessarily as an employee, mm-hmm. but as, you know, someone that's getting paid to rep your company. Like as an employee, you are that. Same thing.
Oh yeah,
but in a much more direct,
right
manner.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I like that comparison that you brought up because I think that's something that's missed quite a bit in disc golf. Now I know it's an athletic organization, mm-hmm. or it's attempting to be an athletic organization because it's not a pro team.
Right. Like a pro team, the like you know like the Packers, mm-hmm. they have a contract with Aaron Rodgers to be on the team.
Right.
But he's. You're competing as a team, mm-hmm. and then you're essentially a employee of the organization.
Right, right.
As a sponsorship, you owe your obligations to your sponsor. Mm-hmm. You're technically like a team player, even though it's not a team.
Right.
But beyond your sponsorship,
aside from the logos you wear,
right.
And the plastic you throw in disc golf, there's no team aspect.
Right.
I mean, because even look at doubles. when you look at some of the large doubles, national doubles, they're cross-branded teams.
Cross-branded teams, yeah.
So the idea of team in disc golf, other than for small teams like our Parliament team,
right?
Like, yeah, we would consider you guys a team. We want to get you guys together. We want to do those type of things. But when it comes to large dollar, you know, high profile players, they're individual players. There's right. no such thing as a team.
Right. You're not going out and competing. Like, obviously there's a manufacturer's point system where mm-hmm. like all of your points are, but it's not like any event. You're like, yes, Team Discraft did this as a team.
Exactly.
It's every individual, and then you look at who the sponsor is and how they're representing the companies.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people get that twisted. So I think there's this emotional attachment to what was mm-hmm. by the players. So I'm going to harp on the players rather than the manufacturers at this point, that I deserve this from you. No. You need to show your worth and prove your value to that manufacturer. Mm-hmm. You're not a team.
Yeah.
And what your person next to you, the reason he's getting paid more is because they see more value in that person. The reason she's getting more or more royalties or whatever the case may be, because they see more value in what she's doing. So I think players need to get past it.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of players that are doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think rightfully so, and in accordance with how the game is changing and the money that's coming into it. And we've talked about it before. I love the fact that agents are coming in because it's hard to help realize what value is and what worth is. Because for me to say I'm worth so much more, or for me to lay out a blanket statement saying you need to pay us what we're worth, such an arbitrary statement.
Yep.
There's no value behind that statement other than I want more.
Right.
And bringing some of that stuff in, you got to tell them why you want more and what you're going to do to earn more. Mm-hmm. And I think some players are doing it, some players aren't.
Yeah. I had this thought in the back of my mind the other day after something was brought up. I thought, you know, as a player, as a, you know, someone who's looking to get sponsored, you have this feeling of like, hey, I'm worth this much. Mm-hmm. You go to one sponsor and they say, we can give you this. And you're like, well, that's not really what I'm looking for. You might go to another sponsor. Here's what I'm looking to give you. We can't do that. At what point do you think, oh, I'm not worth as much as I think I am? Like,
yeah.
You have to just accept that you're only worth as much as companies are willing to give you.
Exactly.
And it's really hard when that's you have exactly this higher right. self-worth.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a hard thing to grasp.
Well, and I think that's brilliant. I think that is such a powerful mindset to have that mindset, but there's also reality. You know, so TikTok, we talk about that. There's these songs that go around about small businesses, like mm-hmm. it costs that much because it takes me hours. And if you listen to the whole song, you can pull the whole song up. It is such a pompous view on what someone does. It costs that much because you chose that price. Mm-hmm. It is worth something else. It is worth exactly what someone's going to pay you for it.
Yep.
That's what the worth is.
Right.
So to say, pay me what I'm worth, it's entirely too subjective. And I think players need to get away from that. And there needs to be someone in the sport or behind them that smacks them around a little bit. And mm-hmm. not literally. Well, maybe for some. But that just needs to smack them around a little bit and say, okay, we understand you have living costs. You have operating costs for your businesses, whatever it is, because that's who you are. You're a business owner.
Yep.
When you're promoting yourself and your game. You're going to have traveling costs. You're going to have food. All these things that go into just living. So there's a base of worth, mm-hmm. of course. But that's still subjective to each person.
Yes.
Because what type of car are you driving? Were you wanting to stay in like 5-star motels? You want to stay in the Roach coaches? Well, you can't stay in a lunch truck. That's a Roach coach. But you want to stay in the places, you know, that just aren't valued very well. You want to stay in campgrounds. And then, okay, now what is my play worth? What am I going to bring you? How am I going to, you know, and then figure that money out. Mm-hmm. And someone way smarter than I can help someone through that. But those are the basis of what worth is. It's not pay us what we're worth and leave it alone. Pay us what we're worth. This is why I'm worth this much money. And then it's the negotiation factor from there. Mm-hmm. So have we beat that one enough, or we want to talk about it a little more?
I think we're good.
Okay. Yeah. So that frustration came, not a frustration, but that came when the disc golf answer man, Eric Oakley, said that you got to pay what people are worth. And I'm not calling him out, but it was such a subjective statement. It was. I get where he's coming from, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, but it's not the manufacturer's job to decide what you're worth.
No.
It's your job to promote what, or to sell yourself.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, like, we're not touring professionals, so who's to say what we're worth to, like, anything, you know, and be anybody. But, Eric, you know, obviously has an idea of what it takes.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, we can't argue with how he feels, you know, about that at all. So,
and everything here is pure speculation.
Yes.
This is just gut feeling and has, you know, there's no insult to anybody. It's just what we feel. So when I hear something, I'll say, this is what I think. And then someone say, you're an idiot. And I'll go, probably. all right. So everything up to now has led to Discmania's teams.
Yeah, kind of.
That was a poor segue. I tried.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about teams. So we'll go to Discmania, and then I want to do power rankings on Discraft's team.
Yeah, sounds good. So, yeah, so big thing for Discmania as of right now was Casey White signed a extension to be on the tour team. Tour team again.
Okay.
I think it was 2 years, 2 year extension.
I am super excited about that. I love Casey White.
I do too.
He's one of my favorites. So I'm super excited about that. And I'm going to try to beg him to come on.
That'd be awesome.
And hopefully we can interview him.
Yeah. That'd be really good.
Casey White, if you heard this, reach out. I'm the bearded Wisconsin guy that we played together.
Vegas, right?
Yeah, Vegas. Yeah. Met him in Vegas. He threw a Marshall like 360 feet and parked a hole. And both Jordan and I looked at each other and we're like, whoa. And he was pretty young at this point.
Okay.
He was playing MA1, both him and I. And I was still throwing fairly far at that point. So I was younger. This had to be I think it was our first or second year. No, it would have been our second year, because our first year we played MPO.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, it was fun. So this would have been our second year. So this would have been 5 years ago.
Okay.
He's awesome. Just a good character. Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, just everything about him. So I'm showing a lot of love. Fanboy.
Yeah. Dempsey was really excited when we saw him at, he had just signed for Discmania. Like, he was down with Avery like a week or so before we were at Silver Cup. And we saw him in the parking lot. I'm like, Dempsey, there's Casey. He's like, oh my God. And then he's like, I recognize you from, you know, Simon's vlogs and all this. And he talked to him about Sky God 3 for a while because he just got one. He's like, oh, yeah, Casey's like, I throw one too.
And
it was just really nice to interact with him a little bit.
Yeah. It's so genuine. Everything about him is so genuine. And when he made his thing and we'd saw him, and Jordan and I were talking on the flight over. Mm-hmm. And this is how cool disc golf is, and especially Casey White. But Jordan and I were chatting on the thing, and I said, Jordan, he's not going to remember us, man. Like, why would you remember us? We weren't anything special. We didn't play well. Well, I did. Jordan did. I came in 13th that year. But we, and I was like, no. And we were, Jordan was in the pooper on the driving range at Innova. So he was in the Port-a-John. And I was standing just outside the Port-a-John. And I heard him look over at Alyssa, I believe is his
girlfriend's
name. And I heard him go, oh, those are the guys I was telling you about. And I was like, dude, it made my heart melt. Like, I was like, that is awesome. I'm so happy. You know, and every year we saw him, we'd be like, Casey, what's up? How you doing? We'd always have a conversation with him. But I always thought it was kind of our, you know, my Johnny McRae moment. I played with Johnny McRae for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then saw him like a year later, and he was like, oh, yeah. He had no clue, which I don't expect him to. I'm sure he meets so many people. But I thought I had a connection with him. Okay. No, didn't. Just played with him. But Casey White just remembered it. And I don't know if it was just how goofy we are and we don't take anything serious. And we were playing together on the same card with him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, so I'm sorry. Let's go back
to this. Oh, yeah. Jordan ran it. We were at DDO last year, and Jordan, like, he's coming down 18 at Jones Gold. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Casey. And he's like, he kind of looked at Jordan for a second. He's like, oh, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah.
I was like, Dang, all right. Yeah. You got that kind of connection. That's pretty sweet.
Well, and you know, with Jordan, he's probably like under his breath, Chrissy. Is that probably how it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, being a goof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then other Discmanian news, Dustin Keegan signed an extension, and he was brought up to the tour team, I believe.
Does he tour?
I know he played quite a few events last year, but I didn't think he was on like a full tour schedule. I thought he was pretty busy with like Uplay as well.
Yeah.
So he and Zoe, I don't know how much they're touring. Zoe was with Team Infinite.
Yeah.
And but they're, you know, busy running, getting into schools with Uplay. Yeah,
doing awesome stuff.
Yeah, awesome
stuff.
And they got a lot of people representing them as well, mm-hmm. Uplay. Mm-hmm. And then, so the big thing down at the bottom of the Discmania team page that I noticed was, this is what it says, the list of team players is not fully complete and may change during the season. Mm-hmm. No speculation, but yeah. I'd like to think that this could possibly mean that someone is joining the team pretty soon. No, but don't quote me on that.
Who do you think it is?
I'm hoping it's Kat.
Okay, not Nico.
I mean, it could be Nico. But I think for the sake of Discmania, no shade to Ella Hansen, who's a solid player, rookie of the year, but adding Kat would be huge right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. I love that you noticed that, because why would you put that at the bottom of your team list? Because it's not like you're selling a product. I mean, you are selling a team product.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not like you're selling a product like the disclaimers they have at the end of commercials where the guy talks real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, why do you have to have that down there?
Right.
The reason is because something big's going to happen.
Yep.
So I may be wrong, because I'm still holding my breath and crossing my fingers that she's going to DD.
Yeah.
But I doubt it.
So.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So I was listening to Understable Minds, uh-huh. and they brought up Kat. Eric McCabe said, he's like, she's not coming to DD or Trilogy. He said Trilogy.
Oh, he said Trilogy.
He said she is not coming to Trilogy. Wah, wah, wah. Could be a red herring. He could be throwing us off. Anything's possible. But I can kind of see it with, you know, the signings of Ricky and Kona. Like, mm-hmm. just to DD, but like to any of the other brands, I could see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they spent too much. I want to, when I come back, I want to discuss something about too much.
Okay. But,
I still want to hold out and hopefully.
Yeah. She had a post today. Someone had like done something on her Instagram where it made it seem like she might, you know, she might reveal soon. Mm-hmm. I know Ricky is pretty close with her as well. He's close with Kat and Austin. Mm-hmm. I think he has a good idea of what she's up to, but he wouldn't really spill the beans when he was talking the other day with Smashbox or Understable Minds at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not his news, and I think that'd be a bummer if he did tell it. Although, super exciting at the same time.
Right. Then we would know. Exactly.
All right. So you're going to put money on the board for Discraft because of that? Or just Mania because of that?
No, it would be awesome. I think it's awesome. I like Discmania as a company. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting any eggs in that basket, really. So, yeah, I'm still up in the air where I don't know where she's going.
So do you think she goes from one semi-fringe company to another, like MVP? Do you think there's possibility behind that?
I could.
Because they've been awfully quiet.
They really have.
Awfully quiet.
Awfully quiet. I could see it. Like, I don't know, you know, with, I'm guessing they made a lot of money on the James Conrad discs. They'd have enough money to probably make a move. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they want to right now. Like, do they need to?
I don't know. I mean, they need to keep that train rolling because it still is not a mainstream disc.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as long as that overmold is there, it's never going to be, I don't think it'll ever be the disc.
No.
So it's always going to be niche,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Who knows?
All right. So let's talk about Discraft Power Rankings.
Okay.
The team.
Yep.
We just want to talk about the MPO.
Yeah, that we're just based on the Chris Dickerson signing and where he stands with
right
Discraft, because we talked about it earlier.
Okay.
All right. So
what's your hot take?
Okay, my hot take. So we obviously know we consider Paul Macbeth
right
top of the food chain at for the elite team. We're just talking elite team.
And now when we're talking about rankings, we're talking play and on play alone.
Right, on play. Yeah, not based on rating, just play.
Okay. Okay. Just play, no exposure, no disc sales, yeah, nothing like that. Just play. Okay.
Yep. So I guess my hot take is that I have Adam Hammes ahead of Chris Dickerson as Innova, as Discraft's
as the second chair.
Second, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if they were all flute players, Paul Macbeth would be chair first one, seed.
First, yep.
Okay. Adam Hammes would be
number chair two.
Okay.
Dickerson three.
Mm-hmm.
Yuli four.
Four, okay.
Okay. From there, it gets kind of dicey for me.
Okay.
Because it comes down to Ezra,
mm-hmm,
Tim Barham,
mm-hmm,
Prez.
God, Barham, I always forget about
him. Yep. Okay. And Michael Johansson.
Okay.
So I'm iffy because I'm having a hard time kind of deciphering play between those guys.
I think we can put MJ at the bottom of that six person list.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
or I would.
Yeah.
Is that six per year? Yeah, six, seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. At seven, the bottom eight of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would put, like, to me, Ezra and Andrew Presnell are really close. I would maybe put Ezra ahead of him just slightly.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, they both throw far.
Yes, both, yeah.
But I think Ezra has the edge in distance.
Yeah.
I have no clue. Well, I've never seen them throw side by side.
Right.
I don't know their measurements, but I would assume that they have, oh my goodness, the headphone. It looked like someone was standing to the side of me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, that's calmed the heart down.
Heart attack.
Okay. yeah, I've never seen them throw side by side. I don't know what their distances are, but I really, really, I would assume just based off sheer girth that Ezra has it. I don't know. I love Johansson, and I think he is a stellar player. I don't think he can keep up with the big dogs anymore because of his distance.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like me going out there trying to compete.
But phenomenally accurate.
Super accurate.
Disc. He plays the woods so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he suffers too from not getting as much exposure and just being pretty regional as far as, you know, people seeing him play.
Yeah. 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 As far as his ceiling goes, I don't know what it is.
You know,
I think most of these guys, I really don't know what it is. I'm going to speculate on a lot of them. I have no clue what they are. Okay. So then you're talking, we had Barham and...
Yeah, so I think it would go, for me, after Yuli, Ezra, Presnell, Barham, and then Michael Johansson, I guess. Is that right? Yeah.
So Paul,
yep.
Hammes,
Dickerson, Yuli, Ezra,
mm-hmm,
Presnell,
yeah,
Barham, Johansson.
Barham.
I think...
Okay.
I mean, that's for me.
Yeah. I would say the only thing, so Hammes and Dickerson are the two that I have a hard time between, because I think currently, irrefutable, Dickerson is a better player than Hammes, statistically.
Statistically, yeah.
Because he's over 50% win, but he hasn't traveled.
Right.
Well, a little bit, but more regionally.
Right, yeah.
Because he's still, what, like 150 out of 300 tournaments. I mean, so he's just a bit over, and I don't know exactly the numbers, but
it's around there. We just kind of looked it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a little over 50%.
Yeah. And I love Hammes.
Yeah.
He's a local guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I really enjoy him, and I love his attitude. I like his unique forms that he has.
His forehand form is beyond unique.
His putting form is, I don't, you know, the few tournaments I played with him, and I never played on a card with him, but I remember just watching him warm up. I never saw the slide when he puts the putter to his thigh and slides it down. Excuse me, I hit the thing. It's so unique, but it works for him. I mean, he's deadly when it comes to that. So I don't know. So I think if I were to compare ceilings where they're going to be, I think Hamus is the winner. But currently right now, if I had to choose, I'd put Dickerson over Hamus. And I think Dickerson is a little more cold-blooded. More cold-blooded.
Yes, I will agree with that. He has that killer instinct in him to get the job done.
Because who can ace and not even smile in a tournament on camera? How, like,
a couple high fives, that was it.
Robot.
Yeah.
And it was forced high fives. Like, I'll high five you because your hand's there.
But he wasn't having the best round up to that point. Yeah. But
that's the things that turn rounds around.
Yeah, it is.
What a machine. Like,
the thing about Adam Hamus this year, like, he had a tremendous year this year. Mm-hmm. And based on that experience of winning Maple Hill, you know, I think, what do you have, 4 or 5 wins?
Yeah, because didn't he wear Shelly Sharp?
Yep.
And then, which happens in about a week, which is awesome. Yep. Disc golf is starting again. I don't know exactly yet, but
Portland or OT, he had a win up in the Northwest. I know for sure. And then, so he had good wins, solid wins. I think building off that and bringing that in will be tremendous for him this year.
I think so too. Yeah. Like I said, I think his ceiling, because I think Dickerson is near his ceiling. Mm-hmm. I don't think Adam Hamus is near his ceiling yet.
No, I don't think so.
Just amazing. And I think Yuli, so this is Yuli is the one that is hard for me because I don't want to discount what Yuli has done.
I know. Yeah.
But to put him in the 4 slot, man, like, I think Presnell and Ezra, I would probably push Yuli behind those two.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because, okay. I mean, you think about average finishes.
Yeah.
Ezra is the hard one because I would flip Presnell and Ezra. So I would put.
I think they're pretty. Those Presnell, two are pretty interchangeable. But yeah.
I would probably, if I think about it, I'd put Presnell above Ezra and push Yuli behind, maybe just behind Presnell.
Okay.
I see Ezra and Yuli being in that same realm. And I think it boils down to the same thing of Michael Joe. Like, Yuli's distance is what's hurting him.
Yeah. Okay. So you've kind of swayed me because now I feel like we know. Okay, yeah. So, like, Ezra, tremendous round this year at, what was it? It was at Vegas, right? Mm-hmm, he had a huge round.
Came in second, didn't
he? Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, okay, based upon, yes, now that I think back on that, I can see that. Presnell has also, I think, pushed or been on lead card coverage this year. So, yeah, that kind of sways.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I mean, I think Yuli has irons in so many different fires that his focus is no longer solely on play. Mm-hmm. I think he's building a brand and building a business.
Sure.
I think it's awesome. So I think he's just slowly falling down that ladder. But being team captain, you know, I mean, Nate Sexton is also, you know, he's my hot take, not as good as everybody gives him credit for.
He finished 5th at Worlds this year.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. But he also finished almost finished outside of cash. He hasn't done that in a long, long time. Yeah.
I did. I saw something about streaks the other day.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was.
He's in the top with finishing in cash, which is awesome.
200 so I'm some not, tournaments, I think.
Yeah. So with, you know, with my, I don't even know what my rating is, but mid 900s.
Okay. I'm well below that.
Yeah. So, you know, with that, I have no basis to say whether he's good or not, except for just by feeling.
Sure.
And he hasn't been out there. He's rusty, that type of stuff. So back to Discraft. So, yeah, I would put it Paul, Dickerson, Hamus. Then I would go Presnell. I'll say Yuli, Ezra, and then Barham, Johansson.
Okay.
Is where I'm at.
All right.
So you guys can flame us or tell us that we're awesome in reviews. Just leave us 5 stars when you do it. So last thing I kind of want to talk about is too much.
Overspending.
I think it's a topic that's been brought up quite a bit with the big contracts that are coming out, mm-hmm. do you think that Dynamic Discs and the Trilogy brands has spent too much?
Nope.
Okay. Why?
I think so I'll stay with Ricky. I think the contract for Ricky is on pun on par with being the top rated player in the world. Mm. And so for his value to the company coming back, he's going to be selling daggers. He's going to be selling all those discs. He's going to have that line of discs. Granted, that's going to cost them money to come up with these new molds, mm-hmm. You know, get the plastic for them, all that, but they're going to sell.
Yeah. Like, with the ROI is there.
Yes.
Short term.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when it comes down to it, let's say he wins another world championship, or maybe he wins US championship. Mm-hmm. Does that automatically bump his value up? Like, is that when he becomes the 2 million a year, million and a half, you know, like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, based, we can always, you can only see what you have, you know, a couple of years in to like really see a return on your investment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think the Ricky contract is a fair contract at this point.
Okay. Okay. So I think, let me restate what I'm thinking as far as overspending. Do you think it's sustainable?
Oh, it's sustainable.
Because you're thinking of the boom in disc golf now.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this boom here to stay? Is this not a boom, or is this just the elevator going up? And do you think with these contracts, because I think Ricky's worth it. I think Kona's worth it. Yeah. I think Kristen Tatar is worth it. I think, you know, Kevin Jones is worth it. I think the people that are getting their money, I think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I have no basis to say whether it's not,
right.
if it's not. But is it sustainable?
Yeah, sustainability is a good question, because we don't know in terms of, like you said, the bubble or whatever we're in right now. We can go off, you know, the numbers have shown they've increased mm-hmm. as far as PDGA members. Like, that's a solid mm-hmm. Thing to kind of look at. The numbers won't be as high as what they've been the past, what was it, 4 years? Or how
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. It jumped 100,000 mm-hmm. members. That sustainability is not going to be there. It may take 4 years to get another 100,000. So growth will probably slow, mm-hmm. but those people are still going to be buying plastic.
Right.
And as long as new discs come out, mm-hmm. people are going to buy them. Now, the price of discs is also going up, but that's because of manufacturing costs, the plastic, you know, being harder to find. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who knows with the production costs if it's sustainable.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah, I just worry, because that is a hunk of money.
It is.
That someone has to pay. And so Sweden, all of their corporations have to publicly release their profit and loss statements. Mm-hmm. It came out that Latitude 64 made just over $4 million.
Okay.
There is definitely ways to make that look $4 million when you actually made 10 mm-hmm. with purchases of properties, other businesses, product, on and on, equipment, and bonuses, pay. You know, you can bring that number down. Yep. So the real number is probably somewhere north of that. But when I'm looking at it and you say, and I don't know what the number was, I'm pretty sure it was $4.2 million, somewhere around in that area. When you look at that number, it's not a big number.
No.
Comparably speaking, it's not a big number, especially when you're paying someone a mil a year.
Right.
So if DD's market share is anywhere close to that, let's even say it's double that, you're paying one person an eighth of your gross income. Net income, excuse me.
Yep.
You're paying an eighth of your net income to one person. That's crazy.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. But what is he bringing back in? You know, so it is. That's the juggling match that you're going to have to look at. So you're paying an eighth of your to one person. You have probably about another two dozen people that you're paying. And I'm assuming it's going to be at least about another eighth of your net.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a lot of money.
It
like
is.
You're paying a quarter of your income of your net to just players.
Yeah.
And you've promised them that for 4 years.
Yeah.
So if this bubble is truly a bubble, they made a poor decision. That's the question, though. Is it a bubble?
Yeah.
And is the growth in disc golf sustainable? It's not like the stock market. Mm-hmm. You know, disc golf is not like the stock market. We've proven that it is fairly recession-proof with 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as volatile. There's not as many moving parts. There's not as many... Now I'm trying to be smart and think of something else, but there's nothing else I can think of. But, you know, it's not based on the value of a dollar. So no. If anything happens, market crashes, that dollar will just be worth less or more, depending on how it resets. Man, I just, for me, I look at it and go, holy moly, that's a ton of money for one person.
It is. Yeah.
Because, and also you've locked yourself in to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kat comes up, how do you get her?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy. As a business person, it'd be hard to make that decision.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really hard to make that decision.
But I think when they saw the opportunity, it was actually a really easy part of me is like, let's just bring him home. Like
yes.
The heartstrings kind of, mm-hmm. you know, like obviously he was Team Trilogy, but like a lot of the things that he dealt with went through DD, like as far as, mm-hmm. you know, like him reaching out to Latitude because they're in Sweden, like, but everything mm-hmm. he was working with was through DD.
Yeah. Well, his paycheck, he said, that's what he said. His paychecks, his plastic, yep, everything came through DD.
Yeah.
So the relationship was there. Yeah. You know, I think the move was smart, but the risk level.
Yeah.
Like, holy moly. Like, if it was a 1 to 10, that's in an 8, you know, because DD's not, maybe I'm 100% wrong, because I look at the buildings they just purchased, mm-hmm. renovated, put in there, the lack of plastic they had this year that we could purchase,
okay.
just us as retailers purchase, there was barely anything in there. So where is this money coming from? Good. And I know they have their DD stores.
Yeah.
Because they have the Carlton, and I don't know how, the Carlton store, and they have two others, I think.
Uh-huh. There's one, I think, in like New Mexico and somewhere else. I'm not.
One's in, I don't know.
Yeah.
Speculation, whatever. But they're there. They're out there.
Yep.
And then they're kind of franchised stores. So other people like own that. Them and they're just branded as DD from what I understand.
I think so.
They're not employees. But man, where's that money coming from? That's what I'm saying. Just with the lack of product to sell, like,
unless they were just keeping stuff, a lot of stuff for themselves that they could just sell off themselves.
Cause
even last year, like Jordan, when we were in Emporia and like went into the DD store, mm-hmm. there was a lot of product on the shelves, but maybe not as many molds.
Right.
So like they had a lot of like the Players Tour Series discs that were there,
mm-hmm.
but maybe you just weren't seeing as many molds being produced, but they still had a lot of numbers of specific molds.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And I know they talked about shipping, and I don't know if it was DD that talked about this, but I know I heard some companies talk about from going to ships to planes to mm-hmm. ship their products over now. And it makes sense because planes are reliable. You're going to put it on that plane. The plane's going to fly over. It's not going to get stuck in a port or anything like that. And once it gets here, it's on the ground. It's on the land. They're going to be able to pick it up after it gets through its customs check. So I think that was cost of what's happening. And I mean, I guess there was a lot of discs out there, but you know, you think of the quantity of discs that you would have to manufacture selling to us at X dollars. I mean, you're going to have to sell, just to cover his contracts, something like 200 some thousand discs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know what their profit margins are. Maybe they're in the sense to make a disc, but I would assume it's not. I assume they're $3 or $4 because after you add in employee costs and all the operational costs, I won't bore anybody with it, but It's a lot of discs you got to sell to cover one person's contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so we'll leave it out there. We'll leave it hanging in the wind, but it's a huge risk on the riskometer. The riskometer is going to be really pushing towards the right there. So, all right. I don't have anything else that I would like to discuss. How about yourself?
No, I don't think so.
All right. New for the shop, I've already told you. We're getting in the Ricky Wysocki 3 signature. So we're getting the the Dagger, the Explorer, and the Felon. So you'll see those on the site. I already got the shipping notification or shipping tracking number for them.
Okay.
Hasn't been shipped out yet, but it'll come. And where can they find you?
You can find me at JKDC Disc Golf on Instagram.
All right, and it's doordisc.com or door_disc_golf on Instagram and Door Disc Golf Store on Facebook. And keep it subpar, and we'll see you later.
If you can, review and rate us on Apple or Spotify or anywhere else that you listen to our podcast. We greatly appreciate it. It helps with the helps finding our show and keeping it relevant.
Yep, keeping our link. So there are a lot of Night Owls out there. There were only one Night Owl Disc Golf podcast. So when you search for us or tell your friends about it, make sure you have the disc golf in there. And giving those ratings will actually help us push out of that cluster of Night Owls. So outside of that, keep us up par one more time. Have a good one. Peace. Yep.